This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Brothers and sisters, yes, I have recited before you that وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold fast the rope of Allah together and do not be divided. This verse invites us to the unity, to the fraternity. And as you know, that Islam is not merely a religion, it's a complete code of life for the entire humanity. Here when we discuss whether we are discussing is Bible the word of God or is Jesus the God, or we are talking Israel or Palestine, in fact we are following the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the book which provides us guidance in every walk of our life. And today, on this topic, which is a burning topic of the world today, Sheikh Ahmad Didat will be throwing the lights religiously, speaking the facts according to Quran and the other scripture revealed on other nations, or the book which is called Al-Kitab Al-Muqaddas, the Bible. I will now request our chief guest, His Eminence Sheikh Ahmad Didat, to come on the stage and start his lecture. Sheikh Ahmad Didat.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صدق الله العظيم. Mr. Chairman and my dear brothers and sisters, it was just about at the end of the Six-Day War in 1967 that I was on a lecture tour of the southmost province of South Africa, the Cape. And I was in the city of Cape Town, delivering lectures on different topics in comparative religion. While this was going on, the meetings were advertised in the newspapers, the Jewish students of the University of Cape Town, they contacted my sponsors. And they wanted to know if I would be willing to address them. I am ever gay. If Allah has given me something, it is my duty to share with others. My Jewish cousins and my nephews, not accepted. Not accepted. In other words, anybody, everybody, you make a demand on me, and if I have the time and the energy, I am ever willing. So I accepted that invitation, and in the hall, in the private hall, they gathered Jewish young men and women and learned men of the professions, and I was called upon to speak on the pros and cons of Israel, the for and against of Israel. They were actually trying to feed me out, or feed out the Muslims. How will the Muslims now respond after the knockout blow that they've given us? In 6 days, they flattened the Arab armies. They boasted. What was my reaction? So when the chairman, the Jewish chairman, he introduced me beautifully, and he called upon me to speak, I began with the formula I just recited to you now. And when I read it, from the expression on the faces of the Jewish boys and girls, university students, it appeared that they were mystified, naturally so. They were wondering what this guy is talking about. Because they expected me, according to the introduction, to speak to them in English. And I was uttering some language which was maybe gibberish to them. So I had to explain. that I was not trying to mesmerize the Jews. I was not trying to hypnotize the Jews. What I read was a prayer. And the prayer was the prayer of the Holy Prophet Moses, the hero. In the Holy Quran, we are told that when God Almighty commanded Moses, peace be upon him, to go and liberate his people, in trepidation he cried out. Allah, he said, Rabbi shrahli sadri, say, oh my Lord, expand for me my breast, meaning make me bold, make me courageous. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أُمْرِي, and make my task easy for me. وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, and remove the impediment from my speech. Because he was a stutterer. He used to stutter. He was not able to speak as fluently as I'm speaking to you. See, he had the habit of stuttering. Remove the impediment from my speech. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, that they may understand what I have to say. This is in Surah Taha, in the Holy Quran. Surah Taha. Now where do you find Taha? Our chairman, he introduced his qiraat, recitation, by saying from Surah Ali Imran. Where do you find Imran? This book, the Quran, has 114 chapters. How do you refer to, how do you come to these references? So if you have a translation like this particular one I have in my hand, don't worry about the glitter and the gold. If it is by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, every translation is the same. Page for page, it is the same. The only difference might be that it's a little bigger according to photostatic process, little smaller, depending on the paper, a little thicker, a little thinner, but page for page, it is the same. In this vast volume, at the end, you'll find an index. And in that index, whatever you want, everything on your fingertips. The chairman said, Surah Ali Imran. You look at the I Imran, it'll tell you chapter 3. Very easy to find. 3, because every page is numbered. I am telling you that this prayer of the Holy Prophet Moses is in Surah Taha. Surah means chapter. Taha, look at the T. Taha, will tell you chapter 20. 20 is easy to find because every page is numbered. And in the ayah, meaning the verses, numbers 24, 25, 25, 26, 27, and 28. These are the four verses I read to you. Very short verses, short sentences. There are four verses I read to you, and this is how you find reference. The Holy Prophet Moses is spoken of in this book more than 40 different places and 40 different headings. What do you want to know about Moses? What do you want to know about Jesus and the jail? What do you want to know about marriage or divorce? Heaven or hell? Whatever you want to know, go to the index and everything on your fingertips. You, Muslims and non-Muslims, you all owe it to yourselves to have access to this book. You must get this book for your own references. So, saying to my Jewish audience, that I was not trying to hypnotize them, I was not trying to mesmerize them. I was only offering prayer to God, and I had more need of this prayer than Moses. For so many different reasons. Me too. I was facing a community, an elite community, an intellectual community, and we were at cross purposes. The very fact that they invited me was just to test me out. Just to know how I feel about the defeat in the Middle East. How do Muslims feel? And they were going to judge me, naturally. They said, now this guy is an enemy. And as an enemy, how is he going to try to get out of it? Or how is he going to convince us about his case? So I said, I have money. Psychologically, there is a greater reason that there is an impediment. I have no impediment of the tongue. Though I'm speaking a foreign language, English is not my mother tongue, number one. Number two, that the audience is not receptive, to put it mildly. They're not a receptive audience. They want to know now, they want to put you to the test. So I said, I have no need for this. prayer, and I offered the prayer of the holy prophet Moses. And he came with a shock. I am uttering the prayer of the hero, Moses, as contained in the Holy Quran. So saying, I said, you see, in our language, when we take the name of the holy prophet Moses, we never say Moses. It's an insult. Talking about the holy prophet Moses, if we say Musa, in our language we say Musa. If a learned man, he speaks about this mighty messenger of God, the Musa alayhi salam, Moses, or Jesus, and say Musa or Isa, we will kick him out. In any gathering, that man is an unfruit barbarian. How can he take the name of a mighty messenger of God by saying Musa, Dawood, Suleiman, Isa? We have to say Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, revered Moses, may peace be upon him. Hazrat Dawood alayhi salam, revered David, may peace be upon him. Hazrat Suleiman alayhi salam, revered Solomon, may peace be upon him. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, revered Jesus, may peace be upon him. This is how we take the names of the prophets of the Bani Israel. Without saying Hazrat, revered, without saying peace be upon him, the man is an uncouth barbarian. And we are so close to the Jew. We are. We give our children Jewish names. My eldest son is Ibrahim, same as Abraham. My youngest son is Yusuf, same as Joseph. My brother-in-law is Musa, same as Moshe, Moses. We say Dawood, David, Suleiman, Solomon. We are giving our children Jewish names. Why? Because we are not racist. To us, these are not Jewish names. These are the names of the righteous servants of God. And we are proud to give such names to our children. What is the difference between you and me? Between the Jews and Muslims? What is the real difference? I said, you Jews, you say that God Almighty is absolutely unique. He has no partners, He has no sons. God is not seen at any time. No man can see God and live. And we give our hand of acceptance to the Jews that we believe as you believe. The Jew says, no eating of the flesh of swine. We say we won't eat it. The Jew says, no eating of blood. We say we won't touch it. The Jew says, circumcision. We say we are all circumcised. What more do you want? We would say that Islam is Judaism made universal. It's the same religion on a universal level. You have to be born a Jew to be a Jew. The Jew has to be born a Jew to be a Jew. Islam says anybody, everybody, ahlan wa sahlan, come, you are welcome into this fellowship of faith, into this brotherhood. Anybody, anybody. It's the same religion on a universal level. What is the fight about? We are so close, wallah, we are very close. In our dietary law, in our concept of the divinity, the only real difference is that though we Muslims accept all the Jewish prophets as our prophets and all the heroes as our heroes, I'm talking about the biblical ones. We're not talking about the modern ones, we don't have to go. All the biblical heroes, the heroes are our heroes and their prophets are our prophets. What is the difference? The only difference is that though we accept all the prophets, they will not accept one of ours. That's all. That is the difference. That's the dividing line. But even that is not causing conflict. We have been living together with the Jews. The Jews, the most noblest part of the history that ever took place was under the Muslims in Spain. You ask the Jews, the golden age of the Jews, your golden age. So Moses Maimonides, where did he live? Who was he? Under whose protection was he? He said, under the protection of the Muslims in Spain. The golden age of the Muslims was the golden age of the Jews. When we fell, they fell. We have been going together. For the past 1,000 years and more, there had not been a single riot against the Jews in any Muslim land. No Muslim land. No Muslim at any time said, kill the Jews because they are Jews. No, did the Jews say kill the Muslims because they are Muslims? They live in peace and harmony. The first time that the conflict starts is in 1918, when the British government and the Lord Balfour, they make a declaration that now they're going to make Palestine into a Jewish home. For the first time, the Arabs wake up. They were a nomadic people, looking after sheep and goats, simple, uneducated people, poor people. They lived in this country of Palestine. They didn't even know that they were a nation. They were the creations of Allah. And the world was Allah's. The earth was the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In 1908, the Jews came and started building Tel Aviv. What did the Palestinians, the Muslims, the Arabs, what did they say? Nothing. No, they didn't murmur. So what are these Jews doing? Nothing at all. So look, this country is vast and there is a piece of land there and our peasants, they are coming and they're building a city. Good luck to them. Good luck to them. This whole earth is Allah's. And everything in it is Allah's. So, if our peasants come along and take advantage of that piece of land, nothing more. Let them have it. And they had it. No complaints. No murmur. This is the act. Now, for the first time, he finds out that this country, now his home, will be made into a Jewish home. So he started to protest. He said, no, this is mine. He is becoming aware that he is a nation, he is a community. But he is outwitted, outmatched at every step. He is not as sophisticated as a Jew. The Jew has brushed his wits against the Germans, against the French, against the British, against the Danes, against the Swedes, against the Poles, against the Russians. And now he goes into this part of the Middle East where the poor Arab is an uneducated fellah. And he is simply outwitted, outmatched. So the trouble starts. But I said there has not been a single riot in any Muslim land against the Jews. An individual Jew might have killed an individual Arab. And an Arab could have killed a Jew. It happens all the time. Brother kills brother. But as a people, as a nation, killed a Jew because he's a Jew. What Hitler did, the Muslims never did. Not one Jew was killed for that reason. So kill him because he's a Jew. They killed 6 million Jews because they were Jews. The Muslims never killed a single Jew. Like this, difference of opinion, fight, brawl, and you stab one another, he kills you, you kill him. That's understood because brothers do kill brothers. But as race, no racial conflict. So I said, now look, we are so close together. In our concept of God, in our dietary laws, in our heritage, Father Abraham, we both say, Father Abraham had two wives, Sarah and Hajar. They say Sarah and Hagar. The Arabs are the children of Bibi Hajra, Hagar, through Ishmael, the Arabs. The Jews say we are the children of Sarah through Isaac. They go back to Father Abraham. They are the children of the same father. They are brothers, one to the other. What is the difference? Difference today is political. It's not racial. You're not fighting for race. The Muslim and the Jew is not fighting for race. That we are a different race. We are Arabs and you are Jews. We fight not for that reason. You are a Jew religiously and we are Muslims religiously. We are not fighting for that. The Muslim and the Jew is fighting for a piece of land. My brothers, the Arabs, they say Palestine belongs to us. My cousins, the Jews, they say Palestine belongs to us. That is the conflict. They are our cousins, good or bad. We can have bad brothers. Cain killed Abel. They were brothers, same father Adam, their two sons, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel, brother kills brother. That's a different matter. But the fight is over this piece of land. Now, let us get together. How can we have peace between us? I said, you see, the problem is very easy of solution. I'm a simple man, and I can see simple solutions. I said, you see, the Arab world is sick. If my Arab brothers say, don't get angry with me. But this is the way I speak. I said, the Arab world is sick. They need a new heart. Chris Barnard in South Africa, in Cape Town. He did the first heart transplant. When the body is good, but the heart, there's something wrong with the heart. So they take this old heart out and put a new heart in. You know, heart transplant. The Arab world needs a heart transplant. And you are that heart. The Jews. You need a body, you haven't got a body. The Arab need a heart, a new heart. I say, you are that new heart. We need a transplant of a new heart in the Arab body. But you see, what we learn from this physical transplantation, that when you put a new heart into an old body, the body starts fighting. They got rejection. The body, in Allah has made it, God has made it, that any foreign thing that comes inside, which is not in tune with its cellular construction, it puts up a fight. It's resisting, it says, this thing I don't want. Creates a fever. And it's going to rejection of the heart. And in the process, this body is going to kill the heart. And in the process will die itself. The body will die and the heart will die. This is called rejection. The body rejects the heart because of its cellular construction. So in medicine what they do is they drug the patient. They drug him and they drug him till the heart, the body is not conscious whether this heart is a friend or a foe. Is it a friend or an enemy? It can't make out. Gradually it gets acclimatized to this new heart. Acceptance. But the fight goes on from the word go. New heart, body rejects. So the remedy is this injection, this war, this strife. This is that injection being given. You know, you get a beating, and he gets a beating. You get a beating, and he gets a beating. Well, after five years, 50 years, 500 years, you say, "All right, come on, man, let's leave it at that, and we'll live in peace." That's what you're waiting for. Another 500 years of strife, or 1,000 years of strife. Till both sides get tired out and says, "Alright, we get reconciled." But I said, "No, there's an easier way." You see, the cellular construction of the body, the Arab body, is Muslim, 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 Muslim. The cell, every cell of that body is Muslim, 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 Muslim. That of the heart is Jew, 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 Jew. The heart, cellular construction of the heart is Jew, 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 Jew. So the Muslim, the cells are fighting the Jew, Jew, Jew. Now, we must change the label. I said, what is required is to change the label. Instead of Jew, 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 make it also Muslim, 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 Muslim. So the Muslim cells say, no, these are Muslims. They say, no, they are like ourselves, they are our own people. You know, we look alike too, in so many respects. So, more easily acceptable. Change the label. And there is no copyright on the label. I don't know whether you Muslims have. That only we can use Muslim for ourselves. The day he wants to become Muslim, he can't use it. Or the Swede, or the German, or the Russian, anyway. He can adopt the name. He says, I'm a Muslim. We accept him as a Muslim. Maybe he doesn't know the full implications. We try to educate the person. But we accept anybody, everybody. He wants to change his label? What do you say? He says, Ahlan wa sahlan. You want to change your label? He says, Ahlan wa sahlan. So I said, change the label. And there is no copyright on the label. The label of Muslim, there is no copyright. Islam, there is no copyright. Anybody can accept Islam and anybody can become a Muslim. Just change the label. Well, that was as simply as I can think I put it. So the Jews at Christian time, university students, full of life. I like that. I like a good fight. I like a good fight. In an honest, straightforward fight. And the university student is the best material. Because he puts up a fight, and when he's defeated, he is big enough to change. He said, no, I see your point of view, and I will see from now on, I will think and talk like you. That's the university student. The old crops, they never change. Like they say, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But the younger guy, he fights, and when he's conquered, he accepts his defeat. So question time. One of the Jews stands up and says, look, why don't you change your label? I'm telling them they must change their labor. You need to become Muslims. He said, why don't you change your labor? Look, I'm not like that. I'm not as militant. I'm a man from India, Hindi. And we are a little more diplomatic. We are a little more diplomatic than that. Give us that credit. So I'm telling them, I said, look, I don't mind changing my label. You want me to change the label? I said, I don't mind changing my label. But you see, if I want to change my label, you're going to put hurdles in my way. You're going to put obstacles in my way. And if I succeed eventually, they said, look, you must learn Hebrew, I said, right? You must learn Arabic with the Torah, I said, right? Whatever you tell me, I said, right? He says, must be circumcised, I'm already circumcised, no problem. What else do you want? Eventually, if you could convert me into Judaism, which you don't want to do, but if you do, just for the sake of argument, at the end of it, I'm still a third grade Jew. And that is so. I'm still a Goyim, a Gentile, a filthy, dirty fellow, from his point of view. Now, man, I can read his formula, whatever he says, but I'm still a third grade Jew. You are all a third grade. The Danish man who has to become a Jew, you're still a third grade Jew. You can never be a Jew. You are still a Goyim. So, I said, I'm still a third grade Jew. But suppose we succeed. What have you achieved? I said, how many are you in the world today? So, at that time, it's a 12 million. Today, there's a 15 million Jews in the world. So I said, now we become 15 million and one. One extra. Okay. But I says, you know, we are 1,000 million. If you become a Muslim, we are 1,000 million and one. You see the difference? If I become a Jew, you become 15 million and one. If you become a Muslim, we become 1,000 million, 1 billion and one. Big difference. I say, you are business people. You are a business community. Who are the Jews? They are in my country. And here to understand. There are very few in numbers, but they know how to control businesses, industries, banks, media. They know how to control. So I said, you're a business people. And you have a product for which you have 15 million customers. If you change the label, you get 1,000 million customers just by changing the label. And there's no copyright on the label. I said, you're a fool if you don't change the label. You're a fool. You can change the label and you get 1,000 million, 1 billion customers for your product. Maybe it's tea. Whatever. The name, you just change the label and from 15 million you get 1 billion customers. You're a fool if you don't change the label. Then there's no copyright. And there's no copyright on this label that we are carrying. So, another question. So one guy says, look, he realizes. I said, look, you have defeated my brothers once. You defeated them twice. First, 48. They knocked us out. 56, they gave us a good beating. 67, they knocked us out. That was them. And you can knock them out 30 times. But you wouldn't solve the problem. You see, they had a world, 100 million. Now I'm told about 170 million. I said, they are around you. And they can afford to lose 100 wars. They can keep on coming back. One defeat after another. One war they lost, they come to again. They can lose another war, they come again. And in 100 years, you can't tell me you'll never lose a war. Anybody who thinks like that is a fool. That in 100 years you'll never lose. I said, you have to lose only one. And it's finished for you for good. Today you are taking this attitude because of America. If there was no America, there would have been peace long ago. It's America. She is the illegitimate child of America. Israel is the bastard child of America. In 1948, it is America who forced this resolution in the United Nations. It is America who blackmailed France, Greece, Haiti, and so many other countries that if you do not vote for this partition of Palestine, there will be hell to pay. Means all the benefits we are giving you, we'll cut them off. They were blackmailed to vote for the partition of Palestine. America created Palestine, Israel. And as soon as Israel was created, when she declared her independence on the 14th of May, 1948, within 2 minutes, Truman recognized Israel. 2 minutes. He didn't wait. He was waiting with bated breath, with open mouth, like a young man getting married. We asking him, are you prepared to take this girl as your lawful wedded wife? Nikah kabul ki, we say in Urdu. So the guy says, ki, please, did it. As quick as that, that guy was waiting for the announcement. And within 2 minutes, he says, we accept. Did it. 2 minutes. So somebody asked Truman at the press conference later on, he said, look, what was all the hurry for? You know there are 100 million Arabs. You know they'll get offended with you. So Truman, in answer to that, he gave us the secret of how to conquer America. He said, there are no Arabs in my constituency. Meaning the people who vote into power are not Arabs, but Jews. There are 6 million Jews in America who are wagging the American dog. It's the tail that wags the American dog, the 6 million Jews. The answer to that is that we have to put 6 million Arabs to counter the Jews. Impossible. You know, this is just talk and talk. They will not allow the Arabs or the Fakis or the Bangladeshis or anything. They don't want them. Brain, yes. If you are somebody, some great, it's all right, you can come here and you can come here. You're our geniuses, they're prepared to help them. But not all the refresh that we have. Anything, everything. The Jews are welcome, but not you and me. So how can you get 6 million Muslims there to counteract the Jews? I'm telling, very easy. Very cheap. If only our brothers would think and see. The answer is, you have to counter the 6 million Jews. That's all. To balance that up. You need 6 million votes. And you can get the 6 million votes for the price of an AVAC. You know the AVAC? Reconnaissance planes, you know, they see what's happening and all that. I don't know how many millions or billions it costs. For the price of one AVAC, if you spend this in the Dawah field in America among the black Muslims, by God, we'll have 6 million votes. As cheap as that. All this bloodshed and all the billions we are losing. Allah, it is as cheap as that. If we can only say, look, we are pleasing Allah, Allah wants us to propagate His faith. And the solution to our problem. Otherwise, what's happening in Madrid? Whatever is happening in Madrid. Look, that guy has got the stick in his hand, the Jew. The whole world is on one side. America is his illegitimate child on the other side. And they have a big stick. No matter how reasonable you are, you can never have it your way. We can't have it our way. This is the problem. We are getting frustrated. We are going to blame the Jordanian. And this guy didn't speak well. And if Mr. Didak was there, maybe he could have done a better job. Nothing did. No Didaks and 100 Didaks can't do a better job. What you need is a big stick. Nasser had it in 67, he lost it. Saddam had it in 90, he lost it. The big stick, he had the big stick. He had it broken. Lost it. I don't know when we'll have another stick. But cheaper than these big sticks is go and propagate the faith. Change the people. And you see, America is a democracy. There is a chance, we have a chance to put people into power, into Congress. We have a chance, if you have the vote. And to get the vote, change the people. Change the allegiances. Because once a person is a Muslim, look, I'm a Muslim. I'm your slave. And you are my slave. I'm your slave, wallah. I'm just, what do I want in Scandinavia? You tell me. What can you give me? You tell me. I don't know what you can give me. Except your love and your prayers. What else can you give me? But I'm your slave. What makes me your slave? It's this deen. Our religion, our deen. I love you and you love me. You are my slave, I'm your slave. Similarly, any community, if you can change their allegiance to Islam, they are your slaves. Our heart beats with the Palestinians. I'm not an Arab, I'm an Indian. But when the Palestinian gets hurt, it hurts me. When Muslim anywhere gets hurt, it hurts me. Why? Because this is our Allah made it. We ought to be like that. Change the fellow, and he is yours. But now coming to this, the fellow wants to know the Jew. So who will do the job? Very, very. Look, intelligent people. We must admit. I tell you that in the Quran, Allah Bari Ta'ala speaks about the good news to Ibrahim al-Salam about the birth of a son. In his old age, at the age of 89, Allah gives him a son called Ismail. But the good news is given, this is Ghulaman Halima. The son, the servant, the son who is Halima, humble child, submissive to Allah's laws. That is the Arab. Ismail and his children. This is the characteristic, Allah says, is Ghulaman Halima. Later on, after 13 years, he gives Ibrahim al-Salam another good news about the birth of another son, Ishaq. And he says, he's now giving you a son, Ghulaman Alima, knowledgeable fellow. But for nothing, Allah says, this is Halima, you Arabs, and that guy is Alima, knowledgeable fellow, intelligent fellow, highly intellectual. But he's just trying to rhyme it, Ghulaman Halima, Ghulaman Halima. Just like that, just for sound, producing the sound. No, there is something there. And we can see it. The guy is outwitting us at every step. Can't you see? There are only 6,000 in Denmark. And you don't know what control they have over Denmark. I don't know how many are there in Britain, and they've got everybody under control. 6 million in America, over 200 million people, they've got them under control. With the fist, with the gun. No, internet. We are not using it. We don't use ours. They are using this. So, who will do the job? I said, you. You will have to do the job. You are sitting on our chest. Get off. And give a hand of friendship to them. Tell your brother, your cousin, I'm very sorry. What can I do? Please, where can we go? You know what the Christians have done for 1,000 years. Every Easter, they killed our men, they raped our women, they burned our homes, and we fled to your lands, and you welcomed us. Ahlan wa sahlan. That is what it said. Family and family. Now we lived with you. For 1,000 years, and there was no problem. Now look, there is a strife between us. Brothers, forgive us. Where can we go? And I said, Wallah, I believe that this Arab, he will break down. That's his nature. Allah made him like that. This is the nature of the Arab. 12 o'clock midnight, up to the 6 day war. Egyptian radio, a few days before I'm talking about Egyptian radio, Cairo radio, was broadcasting Saudi is like this, and Saudi is like that, and Hussein of Jordan is like this, and he is like that. You know, these are all reactionaries, and they must be destroyed. And Nasser calls King Faisal. He says, brother, come on, talk to you. And Faisal comes. And they meet on the tarmac. And they embrace one another, and they shed tears. They both cry. They cry. So, brother, this Jew, he's getting ready. Yes. Finished. They're not hypocrites. To me, they are not hypocrites. This is the nature of the Arab. Use it. And tell him, brother, I'm sorry. Look, I have done you wrong. I know we have done you wrong, but please forgive us and let us be brothers. I said, this Arab will melt. Same Cairo radio, broadcasting against Jordan, King Hussein. He said, Hussein, come. So he comes, meets Nasser on the tarmac, and they cry. Hypocrites! I said, no. They are not hypocrites. They are true to earth, the salt of the earth. They are simple, sincere people. If you can touch them right, they become your slaves. They will do anything for you. I says, go on, get off his chest, meaning give back what belongs to them, and say, brother, look, I'm sorry, please forgive us for what has happened. May the Lord forgive us. I want you to forgive. I said, this time we forgive you. Who will do the job? I said, you. You will have to do the job. So in the end, one of these students, he gets up. And he says, you see, I'm a medical student here in Cape Town. And they had a call. The Jews had a call for the Six-Day War. Like cowboys and crooks. He said, look man, come. We'll have fun for a short while and you can go back and study. So they got them from South Africa, from New Zealand, from Australia, from Canada, from Britain, from all over the world. They got the Jews for the Six-Day War. They knew what they were doing. They were playing a game with the Arabs and they knew how they were going to knock them out. Because the Arab, they know, he's going to shout, he's going to talk, he's going to talk. I'll do this and I'll do that. And we'll give a preemptive strike and finish them up. They know the Arab. His behavior, this is how he behaves. My brother says, what they do? Make a big noise. And he says, wait, preemptive strike. You will knock him out. So he says, I just returned from the Six-Day War. After having done the job, I'll complete my studies and I'll go back to Israel and I will carry your message home. What you are telling me, I will try and speak to the people. And wallah, it's happening. There are people among the Jews who are talking these things. There are good Jews. There's an Abe Nathan. The man has gone to jail again and again and again. For what? For talking to the Palestinians. He says, no, we have to talk. We have to talk. This is the land we have usurped. We must make them happy somehow. How we can create a compromise. So I said, you will have to do the job. But now this fear about the Arab and the Jew. You see, how did I get into this? Because my fear is actually talking about the Bible. Is the Bible God's word? But the Bible is about Muhammad. Christ in Islam. Was Christ crucified? These are the themes I generally talk. How do I get into this? I said, you see, I should work for Jews. I work for Jews. And Allah, they have been good employers. They looked after me. They paid me well. They respected me. The best bosses I ever had in my life, I worked for so many Muslims, I worked for Christians, and I worked for Jews. But the Jews have been the best employers I had. This is what Allah expects from us. We must be honest. We must be prepared to do justice. My boss, today, at that time when I was working, they had 9 businesses in South Africa. There were more than 250 businesses today. That same firm I worked for, more than 250 businesses, big, big businesses. They had 9 there when I worked for them. My boss calls me. He said, D-Bag, I have a Jewish couple from Argentina. They are on a visit to South Africa. I would like to take them on a tour of the Indian area and give them some Indian food. What would you suggest? So I said, you see, sir, at that time, I said, there is a goodwill lounge in the center of the town, but the only thing Indian about that is the curry powder they put into the curry. Otherwise, it is just like the Westerners. Restaurant, no difference. Only they put curry powder, makes it Indian. I said, why don't you come to my house? I will give you what we eat, and I'll play some Indian music in the background, then I will take you to the mosque, and you can receive Muslim at prayer, and you'll complete your mental picture of the Indians in Durban. Well, he says, it sounds good, but I have to consult my wife, that we must give them credit. They never do anything without consulting the wife. Next morning, he called me again. Says, D-Dad, my wife is agreeable and gives me £3. It was a lot of money those days. £3. That was around the 50s. £3. I said, no, sir. He said, take it, D-Dad. We'll help you. And it was a great help. So, right, 8 o'clock, you come along. I'll be waiting for you. And my house is just stone's throw away from the mosque. So they came, six Jews, 3 pairs, husband and wife, Mr. and Mrs. Beer, but Jewish couple from the Argentina, and Nikon Pulitz, I forget his name, another couple, 3 pairs, men and women they came. So أهلاً وسهلاً. They had the table laid out and they enjoyed. I said, this is your unleavened bread of the Jews, our roti. This is unleavened bread without yeast. And they enjoyed the curry, they enjoyed the rice, everything they enjoyed. And while we are eating, about finished, we hear the call of Salat, Disha, Salat. So I said, you hear, sir? I say, what is it? He says, it's a Muslim call to prayer. You know what he's saying, sir? He says, no, we hear. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Say, Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. See, he repeats it four times. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. Listen, let's continue. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. He says, I bear witness that there is no other object to worship but Allah. He repeats it twice. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. He said, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. He is not God. He is not his son. Don't make a mistake like the others have done. They have made the heroes into gods. They made the prophets into gods. We are one. Don't you do that. Muhammad is only a messenger. If you accept these two fundamentals, that there is but one God and Muhammad is his messenger. What is the message? He continues. Hayya ala salat. This has come to prayer. Hayya ala salat. This has come to prayer. He continues. Hayya ala al-falah. This has come to success. Hayya ala al-falah. This has come to success. Because this is the real success. That you remind yourselves about your duties and obligations towards your Creator and your duties and obligations towards your fellow human beings. If you want to be successful, there is no other way. Now he winds up the call by saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. Allah is still the greatest. Whether you come or you do not come, you will not lower him in his exaltation. In his majesty, in his glory, he still remains supreme. And the final words of warning is, La ilaha illallah. There is no other object of worship but Allah. You can carry on worshipping your man gods, your woman gods, your money gods, but remember this, that the only one who deserves to be worshipped is him, Allah. That is the national anthem of the Muslims wherever they live. And when they hear this call, they can hearken to the call without having to ask, is it an RC or a DRC? In my country, means RC means Roman Catholic, or DRC means Dutch Reformed Church, the guy who's ruling us. I said, now that's a call to prayer. If you like, sir, we can go down and witness a Muslim at prayer. They did that within hours. I said, of course, sir, my people are very tolerant, and they are. They're very hospitable. They love to see visitors coming to the mosque. It's giving us an opportunity of explaining to them what Islam stands for. So we walked out to the mosque. Please take off your shoes. So while they're taking off the shoes, I started a conversation. I said, you know why you take off your shoes, sir? He says, no. I said, you remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God spoke to him. And he said, throw not my hither, put off thy shoes, off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. This is what, in respect of that commandment, we Muslims, we take off our shoes. Before we go into pray, we make ablution, we wash ourselves, the hands, the feet, the nostrils, the nape of the neck, hiding the mouth, brushing the teeth. This a Muslim does 5 times a day, every day of the year. Purely from the hygienic point of view, no one is going to find fault with a man washing himself 5 times a day. It's a good hygienic practice. So they say yes. I say it also serves certain psychological purposes. Mentally, it's preparing the person for prayer. We are washing not because we are dirty. We are washing because we are going to stand before our God. And thirdly, this is also another commandment given by God Almighty to the Holy Prophet Moses. In the book of Exodus, that is the second book of the Bible, it is written, and Moses and Aaron and their sons washed their hands and their feet thereat. When they went into the tent of the congregation, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses. So said, you Muslims are still fulfilling under the biblical commandment. Though we haven't got the label of a Jew, not yet that of a Christian, yet in all humility we claim that we are more Jewish than the Jews and more Christians than the Christians. In this that we are trying to follow in the footsteps of the prophets. I said, this is how all the prophets prayed. So what? I said, all the prophets, this is how they prayed. You should know your book, your own Holy Bible. It tells us. And Abraham fell on his face and prayed to God. And Moses and Aaron fell on their face and prayed to God. And Joshua fell on his face and prayed to God. When we come to the New Testament, we read that was his last days on earth, Jesus Christ. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane with his disciples. And he said, wait and watch. He died. Because the Jews were after his life. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed to God. Now ask him, how does a man fall on his face and pray? Except with the way you Muslims do. Can a circus acrobat be any better than that? the man scans. He knows the path. This is the only way that Moses and Abraham and Jesus and Muhammad, this is how they did it. He says, "Do that." He said, "You are more Jewish than the Jew." I said, "Yes." Back home, after Salah, we sit down for tea and samosa. So, I'm telling the boss. I said, "Have you seen the Quran, sir?" He says, "No." "So have you got an English translation?" I said, "Yes, sir." So, I said, I have this same Quran in three volumes. Because the paper that was used in India was cheaper paper, so it was pretty bulky, so they had to make it in three sections. Same, page for page, same, but more bulky because of the paper. So I gave one volume between one husband and wife. Mr. and Mrs. Daniels was the name I was looking for. Mr. and Mrs. Daniels, another to the Argentinian couple, and the last one with the index to my boss. So they started. The same inside was there. So I'm telling my boss, I said, "Excuse me, sir, at the back of the book, there is an index. Why don't you see what it says about Moses?" So something nearest and dearest to his heart. If you talk to the Christian, talk about Jesus. I said, "Look, just see what he says about Jesus, his birth, chapter 3, verse 42. Let him read, let her read. Let Allah do the talking. Can you find a better advocate than Allah himself? Let him do the talking." So Moses, so he opens Moses. I said, "Sir, any of those headings, if you want to check up actually what it says, have a look." So he opens something, he opens something else. Then he looks at me. I was just sitting there. He said, "D back, this book is very funny." The Quran. I said, "What's funny about it, sir?" This is how I speak and he speaks. "D that. This book is very funny." So what's funny about it, sir? He said, "You see, this book seems to be speaking in our favor. But you people are all against us." I said, "That is true, sir. That is true. You see, sir, the Egyptians, they were an idolatrous people. They were pagans. They said, 'Hard pass for your people. They killed your sons and they kept your daughters alive. You know why? So they can use them when they grow up.' There was also in that mercy was a bitter sting. You know, as your daughter is growing, the Egyptian is watching. For what? It hurts. It hurts." I said, "Don't be a trial. Stupendous trial from your law." So God Almighty tells us that the Egyptians were unjust to you. "But today, sir, you have usurped our lands. You stole our land. So therefore the strife between us. But this is the that Palestine belongs to us. This is how. Palestine belongs to us." I said, "How, sir?" He said, "No, God promised it to us." I said, "Where, sir?" "No, this is, I didn't know at that time that this is what Allah wants us all to do. Anybody makes any claim, Allah says, 'Pulha to Burhanahu.' Ask him for his Burhan, his proof. Have you done that yet? Are you asking people when they say that you're going to go to hell and he's going to go to heaven, you say, 'Where is your proof?' Do you ask him for that?" No. The secret is, anything, anybody claims, he said, "Your proof, your certificate, that's going to send you to heaven and destines us to hell. Then I have a look at it." I says, "Where, sir?" So he quoted me from the book of Genesis, the Bible. He knew the Bible better than many of us know the Quran. This Jew is quoting me. He says, "God promised to Abraham and he said, Genesis chapter 17 verse 8, he said, 'I will give unto thee, to you, and to thy seed after thee, all the land of Canaan,'" Canaan means Palestine, "'for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God.'" It means I will see to it that they get it and I will protect it. That's his title deed. God has a right to give anything to anybody. It is his. Since God gave it to us. So I said, "Excuse me, sir. You see, sir, in your Torah, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 22, we are given a test. How do we know whether the thing that is spoken and written in the name of God, whether it is from God or not? The test says, if a prophet speaks in the name of God And if the thing does not come to pass, if it does not happen, that is the thing the Lord has not spoken, but the Prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of it. Right? So right. I said, is that a valid test? He said, yes. I said, by the test. God gave to Abraham and his sons forever. Right? He said that. I said, what did he get? The day Abraham died, his sons, Ishmael and Isaac, had to buy a piece of land to bury the father. He was supposed to have the whole of Palestine. Then, we are told again in the Bible, that they lived in hopes, in promises, having not received the promises. And Abraham didn't have enough land to rest his foot upon. Means he didn't own one square foot of land. Not one square foot that he can put his foot there and say, this is mine. That is what the book says. If that is true, then God didn't make such a promise. Because the Quran says, Wa'adallahu haq. If Allah makes a promise, his promise is true. If it is falsified, that means it is not Allah's words. It is somebody who has written presumptuously. The book says, presumptuously. So he said, well, I can see that. The act, very fair, very reasonable. But I didn't want to stop there. That's the end of the discussion. That's no good for me. I said, you see, sir, although I knocked him out first round, I want to bring him back for the second round. So I said, you see, sir, I am prepared to concede that God didn't make such a promise. As if Palestine was my father's property. It's mine, I can give it away. So look, I'm prepared to give it to you. I'm prepared to concede, although I disproved it from the test that it is not true, but still I'm prepared to concede that God did make such a promise. I'm giving away your land. You Arabs, I'm giving it to the Jews. I said, I'm prepared to concede. So I said, what is the promise? The promise says, I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee. I said, who is the seed of Abraham? He said, we the Jews. I said, no doubt, you are the seed of Abraham. But are you the only seed? In the first book of your Torah, the book of Genesis, no less than 12 places, you read, and as for Ishmael thy son, and as for Ishmael thy seed, says, as for Ishmael, I have heard thee, Allah says, I have heard, means I heard your prayer, what you are asking. As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. 12 princes shall he beget, and I made him a great nation, because he is thy seed. And as for Ishmael thy son, and thy seed, no less than 12 places in the Torah, in the first book, Ishmael is spoken of as the son and seed of Abraham. If he is the son and seed of Abraham, what right have you to deny him that birthright? But you see, he said, we got Palestine. And possession is 9/10 of the law. He's got the stick in his hand. I said, yes, sir, but how did you get it? You got it by force. Right? He said, yes. So, might is right. That means you're trying to say, might is right. You got strength, you took it. So, on the same principle, would the Arabs have a right to claim Spain? Once in history, our forefathers ruled Spain for 800 years. Can we go and claim it if we had the power? So look, our fathers had it. The buildings in the Alhambra is built by our fathers. There, still there. Monuments. In India, you go to Shalimar Gardens. And the other thing, Qutub Minar. Who did all this? My fathers did it. Our fathers, the Muslims. We ruled there for 1,000 years. Can we reclaim it? Indonesia, the Dutch ruled it for 300 years. Can they go and reclaim it? Mozambique, the Muslim territory. The Portuguese ruled it for 500 years. Can the Portuguese go and reclaim it now? No. That's what I have you do. And keep going forward. Alhamdulillah, the things was moving beautifully. At the end of it, he tells Mrs. D that we didn't know that the Arabs had a case. My boss is telling me, Jew, said we didn't know that the Arabs had a case. You know what I want you to do? I want you to write everything you told me, and I will publish it in my Temple David magazine in Singapore. He was an editor at the time. I will publish it. So knowing my weaknesses, I said, look, I'm not a writer. I can't write. He said, no, I will just write as you spoke, and I will improve it for you. I'm sure he meant well. He meant well. But it took me many years to put those things down in writing. This book here, Herod and Israel, Conflict or Conciliation, is given to you tonight, everybody free. All those references I gave you and more are all there. What you have to do is, You have to learn these steps. You see, the Christian has been programmed, brainwashed with this idea that God gave Palestine to the Jews. We have done nothing. For 1400 years we didn't put forth our case. That's why we are in this mess. Our case is going by default. We are prepared to fight for what we won't pay. False won't pay. You see, the people, we need the sympathy of the people. We need to see our point of view. And then talk. Try to talk to people. How? Talk to them. How? He said, no, God promised it to them. That's how the Christian is brainwashed. The guy knows that what the Jew is doing is not right. Little children being bulldozed, breaking their arms and their legs. This is not right. He knows. He feels hurt. The Dane is a human being. He's not an animal. And the Swede or any of these Christian nations, they are not animals. They know it feels hurt. He says, this is not right. And so what can I do? God gave Palestine to the Jews. What can I do? That's his problem. So now you have to help him. You say, look, you have been brainwashed, brother, uncle. Sir, you have been brainwashed. Let us see the claim, your title deed, giving Palestine to the Jews. Let us have a look. So he produces. After this meeting, what do you expect? One would expect that the boss would fire me. No? My Jewish boss. I had him tied up in knots. You'll fire me. From the following day, I become Mr. Didat. Previously, Didat. Now, Mr. Didat. Good morning, Mr. Didat. Good afternoon, Mr. Didat. Good evening, Mr. Didat. And he tells the others in the business, hey, that guy there, he says, I'm a dispatch clerk, receiving, sending furniture. Not a very high job. But now I begin to say that guy there, he seems to know something. And he is well informed. So he tells it to the other Jews. I'm passing through one of the departments, the clothing section, it was a big firm. So one of the managers, Mr. Baynard by name, he calls me and says, Didat! Yes. I say, he says, you seem to have, woven a magic aura around Mr. Didat, that you can't do that to me. Mm-hmm. Says, as for Ishmael, he was a bastard. But that's a Jew. That's a real Jew. Ishmael alayhi salam. So he's a bastard. Now in the firm business time, you can't argue with a date. So I said, look, Mr. Baynard, why don't you come home? And have dinner with us, you and your wife, we will talk. He said, you can't do to me what you did to Mr. B. I said, who's talking about doing anything? So every time I pass there, Mr. Baynard, I spoke to my wife, and my wife is looking forward to your visit with your wife. And your friends, please you come. And again, Mr. Baynard, my wife, she's asking, when are you going to come? So nice. So eventually I persuaded. Mr. and Mrs. Baynard, Mr. and Mrs. Kim, and then Mr. Thompson. Five people come. One Jewish couple and three Christians. They come. Same treatment. The food. Visit to the mosque. Wallah, there's nothing better than the masjid. Take them to the masjid. Show them how we pray. Explain to them what we are doing. There is no better place. But we are keeping the people out. And he said, it's time for prayer. If you're working with us. He said, well, if you'd like to come and see how we pray, sir. He said, as if by royal command performance, specially done for you, sir. But it's not so. But you watch the Muslim at prayer. And if you have any questions, I'll answer. And your fellow workers, take them in. Your neighbor, take them to the mosque. And then say, look, come and have something to eat with us. Shh. There is no better way to get into the heart of a man than through his stomach. And we have good stuff like here. The food that we eat. I'm talking especially about the Pakistanis. The Pakistanis. Not the Arab Muslim feel that. I'm not a racist. But my tongue is a racist. I can't tell you. Meaning the taste. So I get it. I'm taking the mosque. Same performance, I bring him back. Bhajas and samosas and tea. So I start. I said, Mr. Baynard, you remember you told me in the shop that Ishmael was a bastard? He said, yes. So you still stand by that? Oh, the bhajas and samosas didn't have a thing. He said, yes, I still stand by that. I said, okay. What now? Pull out the knife? The knife of the intellect. You must use the intellect. Said, that will be charged for murder. And you would have seen here. I would be angry. So I said, Mr. Bainar, tell me now, according to Judaism, your religion, which is preferable? For a man to get child from his own sister. From incest with your own sister and we get a child, or with a born woman, a slave woman, an African woman, a negress, whatever you think Hagar was. Actually, she was a princess of Egypt, Bibi Hajara. But whatever your poisoned mind thinks, she was a negress, she was a slave woman, a born woman, whatever. Between the two, your own sister to produce children from, or this negress to produce children from, which is better, according to your religion. So no, the negress is preferable. That's right. No, that's the right answer. I said, according to genetics, eugenics, inbreeding, which is better for a man to produce children from his own sister or from a slave woman, a born woman? He said, no, the born woman is preferable. I said, according to your common sense between these two, which is preferable? Again, he says, this born woman is preferable. So that answers are correct. So open the book. Book of Genesis. First book of the Bible. First book of the so-called Torah. So-called Torah. Abraham, he is in Egypt. Egypt or somewhere else. And the fellow of the time, he sees Sarah, beautiful girl, the beautiful woman. The Hebrew woman. So he says, what is this woman to you? So he says, she is my sister. So let's send her in. Into the harem. The prerogative of kings. People believe that the king has a right to take your mother, your sister, your wife, your daughter, anything, everything. Everything belongs to him. He says, this is your sister? So yeah, I want her. Send her in. So he sent her in. And whole night, the Bible says, he tried to come right with her, but I don't know what went wrong. She couldn't come right. So the Bible says, frustrated. He never failed in his life before with any woman. Now he failed with Sarah, according to the book. So he calls Abraham again the next morning. He said, this woman, what is she to you? You know, because on account of her, I had a restless night. I couldn't sleep the whole night. He said, she is my wife. He said, why did you lie to me? If I had known that she is the wife of a prophet, I wouldn't have tried to do what I did or tried to do. Why did you lie to me? So the book records, his Torah says, no, I didn't lie to you. For indeed she is my sister, bilashak, without doubt. She is my sister, of the same father, but different mother. Different mother, but same father. His father said, this is a sister. Indeed, without doubt, she is my sister. With the same father, but different mother. So, I said, if Ishmael is a bastard, Isaac is a greater bastard. Astaghfirullah. Look, this is not our language. This is what you are, the language that you use. The things that you are throwing at me, I have a right to throw it back. Islam allows us that. So don't hit him harder than he hits you. He hit me. So now, turn the tables. If Ishmael is a bastard because he's son of a born woman, then according to Judaism, according to eugenics, according to your common sense, Isaac is a greater bastard. That is your progeny, you, the whole lot of you now. Finish. So, Allah, there is no better way to argue and to debate than to use the enemy's own weapons. And this is what I'm trying to share with you all tonight and the nights went by and in the future. I said, get these books of mine. They are available there in the foyer. Get these books and use them as weapons of defense and attack. These books, you read them and you arm yourself. Watch them. And it opens up doors for you to talk. How do you start? The book gives you how to start during dawah. With these words, Mr. Chairman and my dear brothers and sisters, I'm very, very grateful to this community here for responding at short notices to these talks of mine, and you make me feel very happy, and I want you to pray for me as I pray for you all. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
We are thankful to Sheikh Ahmad Didat for a thought-provoking lecture. It is thought-provoking for those who understand, those who are the men of wisdom and understanding. Now, the session is open for you. If any of you wants to put a question, there is a chance for you to ask a question. But as you know that discipline is a sign of civilized people. For that, our question, those who want to put questions, they should make a queue. And no written question should be sent here. You are quite bold enough, courageous enough, and Mr. Ahmad Didat also does not accept any question which is in written form. You can ask question and come on the mic here. Our Danish brothers and sisters, perhaps those who are not Muslims, Christian brothers, I would like to clarify for them that sometimes they think that when we talk of Israel or Palestine, they think that Muslims are always curious about fighting and bloodshed. This is all based on misunderstanding. If we just think for a while and have a look on the land of Palestinian, and if we think those children who are being mercilessly massacred and killed, and if we think that for 44 years Muslims, and they are human beings, are being cruel in Kashmir, Muslim for last 10 years being mercilessly killed and massacred in Afghanistan, but still there are people, because of their inborn enmity for Islam, they say that Muslims are cruel, their God is the God of bloodshed. No, my brothers, if you have broad-mindedness and wisdom, and if you look over the world, you will find that in fact Muslims are not for bloodshed. Those who are against the existence of God, those who are against the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact they are for the bloodshed, and they are proving by their actions today. It is because of the miracle of the CNN or perhaps the BBC channels, their cameras are not capable to capture the views of the millions of children who are killed in Iraq, millions who are killed in elsewhere. But anything which is on their own benefit, they can show it to the world and our masses accept as the miracle of the CNN and the world other channels. Yeah, brother.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jazakumullahu khair jazak. I am very sorry, I cannot speak English very well, but I hope you understand what I mean with what I see. First things, I thank you, and other things I want to see. Jews today is not son of Ibrahim. Majority of Jews, not son of Ibrahim, of Ishaq. Because majority of Jews today come from Soviet Union, from Bahar Kazwin. I don't know what can see in English. Now we're talking between Arab and Jews. We accept this Jews come from Ishaq, but where can prove that Jews come from Ishaq? Big majority of Jews, it come from white men, from Bahar Kazwin, from Europe. Yes, it's not from Abraham, and thank you very much.
Now, brother is right. Is it working? Our brother is right. The bulk of these Jews, like the Shamir fellow, he is a Polish Jew. The Begin fellow is also come from certain places in the country. They are not the Semitic Jews. In other words, they are not the real children of Ishaq. But now, what can we do? The guy says he's a Jew. As soon as he says a Jew, the country is open for him. And the guy is there. He's already there and he's in possession of the land. Now we start saying, look, this guy is a Jew and that guy is not a Jew. That is not going to solve our problem. It can't help us in any way. The way is now what to do about this problem as it exists. To me, we ourselves, on our own strength, we lost the opportunity twice. In 67 we lost it. In 1990 we lost it. We had the stick in our hand, we threw it away. We had the stick in our hand, we had it broken. What next? At Madrid, we hope and pray that census prevail and they can recognize the rights of the Palestinians to a homeland. Because they are not prepared to give anything. They will don't, Shamir will not want to give 1 square inch of land back to the Arabs. Whatever they got, and you can't force anything out of the fellow. I mean, we must be a realist. We haven't got the power, the whole Muslim world put together, we haven't got the power to fight the Jews and America at one time. Because if you fight the Jews, you're not fighting the Jews alone. You're fighting America. Every war that we went into against the Jews, we were not fighting the Jews alone. In 1973, for the first time the Ramadan war, Sadat was able to cross the Bartlett line. He had the Jews by the throat. The job was done. And Israel cries for help. And Reagan, he sends his men and machines direct intervention through the Azores into the battlefield. And they turn the table against us. Now we must realize that, look, Sadat realized that it is not the Jews. It is not the Jews. You're fighting America. Are we in a position to fight America? That's all. Look, it's not what you feel that you we should do this and we should do that. At one time we had some little hope that Russia will help us. And you know what help they have been giving us? Film. What help they have done for us? Put us into greater and greater mess. Now Russia is out of the picture. This guy, this devil, this Jalut is the only Jalut that is there, is controlling the world. Now how do you change his heart? Maybe in his heart of heart, Bush, maybe a sincere man, he wants to help the Palestinians. But his own future is at stake. This is his first term in office. If in the next election, if he does anything so outward against the Jews, he can't come in. And he is human. The spirit is willing, Jesus said, but the flesh is weak. This is man, most of us, we are all like that. His own position as a president of the United States is at stake. So he is walking wavily. Can't you see? But now how do you change? The only way I feel you can change is to change the people. And to change the people, we have to Islamize the people. Talk to that man, talk to them. We haven't talked in 1,000 years. That's the problem. We haven't been preaching in 1,000 years, we haven't delivered the message of Islam. Scandinavia. We are only coming today here and we are making some little effort to save ourselves, to survive. For 1,400 years, Islam is there. Allah Bari Ta'ala, 1,400 years ago, he sends Akhi Jibreel to Nabi Karim sallam, and he tells him, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ, we have not sent you, إِلَّا كَافَةً لِلنَّاسِ, but to the whole of mankind, Bashirun, as a giver of good news, وَنَزِيرًا, and as a warner, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but the bulk of mankind still do not know. They haven't received the message yet. That's 1,400 years ago. We read it today, after 1,400 years, I'm asking, is the position any different? Has it changed? Has the position changed? وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but the bulk of mankind, they still don't know about the message of Islam. True or false? It's true. There are today more worshippers of men and monkeys, elephants and snakes on God's good earth than the worshippers of Allah Wahdahu La Sharik. True or false? It means we haven't done the job. Now, this is a matter of survival. This is a matter of, we have to change the world. Otherwise the world is going to change as they're changing us. Willy-nilly, whether you like it or not, you will be changed. So, the thing is, my dear brothers, the battle of the intellect. Fight. Allah promises us. He said, He's given you a deen that is to master, overcome and supersede them all. Bulldoze them all. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. And again he repeats the same formula in the Quran. He said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ ليظهر ولدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. I mean, if Allah is a witness to this fact, that is going to make his deen to prevail with you or without you. But he's giving you and me, brothers that we are, the privilege of being the works of the prophets of God, the messengers of God, and earn a prophet's reward. Will we take it? It doesn't look like. We want to find scapegoats. We want to find who we can blame. You see, Sadat is no good, Mubarak is no good, Faisal is no good, Fahad is no good, Hassan is no good. Look, find scapegoats. That's what we are. I said, now what are we prepared to do, you and I? Are you prepared to change your environment? Are you prepared to change the people? At least one, each person tries to make a better. In my lifetime, I change one person. I bring them closer. Just one. Each one says, I'll try, inshallah, I will get one person into Islam. 100% increase. If we can say, we will try. In our lifetime, just one. So to me, my dear brothers, what he said is haq. All those Jews that are there are not Jews, the children of Isaac alayhi salam. But the guy say, I'm a Jew. The guy say, I'm a Muslim. But I said, look, you are not an Arab. I said, I'm a Muslim. I have a right to Makkah and Medina. No. The other guy said, he's an Arab. Genetically say, you're not an Arab, you're an African. You man, Egyptian, where do you come from? You Sudanese. What makes you an Arab? No. He said, I speak Arabic. So I'm an Arab. Has the world a right to deny him that? He says he's an Arab, the other Arabs will be accepted. If Pakistan was speaking Arabic, and you said, we are Arabs now, look, new Arabs can kick you out of that Arabism. Said, we are an Arab, I speak Arabic. Arabic is my mother tongue. So, the thing is now, I don't know, we're going to start splitting hairs about that guy coming from Russia, and we say he's a Jew. What can I do? We are forced into the situation because you haven't got the stick in your hand. To get the stick in your hand, you need that type of people to back you up. Without the stick, you can do nothing. You can only cry and we can only pray. But try and get that stick. And the stick is the power. Vote. Get the people to vote for you, change them, vote in, and then you see automatically, wallah, America will say, we don't want to interfere in the Middle East. We don't want to send our sons and daughters to get killed for you, bloody Jews. Immediately the Jews will say, brothers, you know, we are cousins, Father Abraham, yeah. Well, immediate! And it can happen. It will happen, inshallah. But now we have to do something to make it happen quickly.
From our sister sites, any of you, if you're willing to ask question, mic can be provided to you. Yeah. Inglesi. And the Panta, we love an Inglesi and Blah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. That's a question. كإسلام إحنا هوني
باللغة الإنجليزية
كمسلمة في هير أنا ما بحكي إنجليزية بالعربي بترجمة أنت.
Good. I don't ask any questions
which I don't
understand. وأيضا أوكي أنا بحكيها بالإنجليزي شوي
طيب.
أسأل السؤال. I want to say one thing. If you will be Muslim here, everybody, why we don't help the Palestinians people who stand the chair? Why we just we talk here and everybody feels sorry for Palestine, for Pakistan, for everything? Why we don't help the people, Palestinians in the chair? Nobody help these people.
سيدنا قيس خلاص عند سؤال خلاص اجلس في مكانك نحن نجيب he looks too courageous our brother sitting here it looks like he's going to fly to Israel right now
Thank you.
Yes, sir, please. I would like to comment on the question of our brother. All of these brothers and sisters, they left their home and they came here to speak and to hear on the topic Israel and Palestine. Is it not the help of our brothers? Is it not the help for the Palestinians? Is it not the voice for the truth? I think it should be sufficient to you. Please sit up.
The brother Ahmadinejad, with him will come to Denmark. I am Palestinians from Gaza. I'm talking today about the cousins and there in the Denmark here, they say only, they crying about what happened to the Jewish in Hillstrop and Nuremberg in Germany or in Austria. But they never take care about the Palestinian children who went to explode the bomb, the gas bomb in the heart of the children, and one day they find 550 children. The biggest ones of them are 3 years old. We never found this in here. So the situation is, if we happen something for the Palestinians, all the newspapers, all the kind of press, they never found something. But why it doesn't happen from the Jewish or from the Israeli peoples in anywhere in the world, they have this. So we need some. The question is, how we can give our answer, our point to these people, to the Danish, to the Muslims. We are not against Israel as the Jewish, but we are against them because they kill us.
I think during the course of my talk, I did say that the media is in the hands of the Jews. They have the brains to get into positions of power, and they will be in power. Now, we also have to compete. And we ourselves, on our own strength, we can't do the job. We need new blood in the community. We need, in Denmark, you need the Danes to talk for you. In Sweden, you need the Swedes to talk for you. In Germany, you need the Germans to talk for you. In America, you need the white Americans to talk for you. Now, to do that, you have to win him over. How? Invite all to the ways of the Lord with wisdom. وَالْمَوْعِزَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ And with beautiful preaching. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِلَّدِي أَحْسَنَ And reason with them. And reason with them in the ways that are best and most gracious. And Allah is telling you how. We are not going to the Quran. We are not listening to Allah's command. How to do the job? That's the problem. You're not doing the job. You don't want to do the job. Therefore, you won't find how to do the job. For 1,000 years, the Jews came to our land. 1,000 years. When they were killed in Europe, in Britain, France, Poland, Russia, Germany, they were killing the Jews every Easter. These are Christ killers. They killed their men, they raped their women, they burned their homes, and they ran. They ran to Muslim lands. And these, my Arab brothers, they said, Ahlan wa sahlan. Most beautiful words of welcome in any language. Ahlan wa sahlan. Family and plain. Just think you're a member of the family and be at ease. And they lived with us. 1,000 years. And in 1,000 years, we didn't convert 1,000 Jewish families to Islam. What a failure! The man comes hungry, naked, thirsty, and is seeking refuge, and you give refuge, and 1,000 years you couldn't convert 1,000 Jewish families to Islam. An absolute, despicable failure. Why? Your mentality. He said, you see the Ahlul Kitab. We follow Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. We follow Hazrat Muhammad Musa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. To him his religion, to me mine. Is that Islam? But no, that's a mentality. We are paying for that mentality. 1,000 years we couldn't change 1,000 Jewish families to Islam. Shame. 800 years we ruled Spain. And in 800 years we didn't change the people. 800 years. Power is in your hand, education, money, wealth, everything is in your hands. And in 800 years, we couldn't change the people. Why? The mentality. You didn't want to do the job. You exploited the Spanish people. We exploited. In India, we ruled there for 1,000 years. We exploited the Hindus. In 1,000 years, eventually when partition takes place, Muslim gets one quarter, Hindu gets three quarters. Why? You didn't do the job. That's for those sins we are paying for it now. And even our children will pay more. if we don't do the job. And Allah is telling you how to do the job. بِالْحِكْمَةِ With wisdom. What is wisdom? Allah explained to you in His book of Al-Hikmah. Al-Wisdom. The book of wisdom. The Quran.
But who reads it?
Really, nobody really reads it. I'm going to end this. Because I can see there's no real question. There are no real questions. I will end with this. I went to Egypt. They called me for a Dawah conference. I go there. The Dawah conference. Propagation. I tell them beforehand, I said, look, there'll be a problem. Visa. I'm a South African. And as a South African, you people won't give me a visa. I said, don't worry. Everything's in our hands. You come there, at the airport, you'll have the visa waiting for you. Okay, I take the plane, and then in fire. On the tarmac, the man from the Al-Azhar comes around with the aeroplane. Quickly, come, Mr. Didat, come. Before anybody else can get off the plane, Mr. Didat and his son, they are there before the immigration. He goes inside there. We are waiting. People from the aeroplane, the other passengers come on, all gone. Didat and his son are still standing, waiting for the visa. After half an hour, the man comes back and says, it's time for Juma. Because Yom Juma said, I have to go, but I have this lady here, she will help you. I said, okay. She tries. She listens like half an hour, it's another hour. I said, I can wait for two. I'm here for the whole day. I'm entirely at your disposal. There's nowhere I can go now. She returns after an hour. She said, $40. I said, for what? I said, for the visa. $20 for you, $20 for your son. I said, I'm a guest of the government. I said, look, I know nothing about that. $40. Fortunately, I had, I gave it to her. She got the visa for me. Now, she's well-dressed, well-attired. Young lady, well-spoken. And I could sense, or she had said, that she can also speak French. She's speaking good English. And she's an Arab. But in Western attire. So I'm asking her, in my own way, the Arabic that I know. I say, my ismuki, what is your name? So she tells me a name. A name I never heard the sound like that in my life before. So he went one side, came out the other side. I couldn't greet him. Then I'm asking her a second question, and the Muslima? She said, no, I'm a Christian. I had suspected that, but I want to get it out of her. She's my customer. She's every Muslim. Everybody is your customer. Whether it's a Hindu, whether it's an atheist, whether it's a Jew, whether it's a Christian, anything, anybody, everybody is your customer. For thee. So she's my customer of a type. So I said, you know, Jesus Christ, before he parted from this world, he told his disciples, لَكِنِّي أَقُولُ لَكُمُ الْحَقُّ إِنَّهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ أَنْتَلِكَ لِأَلَّهُ إِلَّا مَنْ تَلِكَ لَا يَعْتِيكُمْ مُؤَزِّي وَلَكِنْ إِنْ زَهَبْتُ أُوْسِهُ إِلَيْكُمْ I don't know Arabic. Therefore, I told the brother, I will not entertain that question. Because I don't know Arabic. This is what I have learned and just presenting it to you. So I quoted her this verse. I didn't translate it for her, but she understood what I said. But for the benefit of those who don't know what I have uttered just now in Arabic, I quoted from John chapter 16, verse 7, where it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I go, I will send him. So I'm asking her, in Arabic, the word for Comforter is Mu'azzi. So I said, who is this Al-Mu'azzi? She said, I don't know. She's honest. She's humble. She said, I don't know. So I said, you see, in the Holy Quran, we are told that Jesus told his disciples, وَمُبَشِّرًا بِرَسُولٍ يَعْتِي مِنْ بَعْدِ اسْمُهُ أَحْمَدٍ and giving glad tidings of a messenger to come after me, whose name shall be Ahmad, which is another name for Muhammad, and Muhammad is Al-Mu'azzi. She said, very funny. These Egyptians, meaning the Muslim Egyptians, they take us to the dance and they take us to the cinema, but they do not tell us anything about Al-Mu'azzi. So right. She gave me a sledgehammer to hit the Egyptians with. This is how Allah arms me. She gave me a sledgehammer. I said, these Egyptians, this is what they do. They take us to the dance. Please, my Egyptian brothers, don't lose your tempers. Look, it could happen anyway. And I'll tell you what happened in Kuwait. And I can tell you what happens in Saudi Arabia. And I'll tell you what happens in Pakistan. So please, don't try and boast. They are all in the mess. It just happens that this happened recently and is there before my eyes, so I'm telling you, sharing with you. So I go to Marriott Hotel, a five-star hotel, that's where they put me up, and I meet our young Egyptian, young man, enthusiastic. So I tell them this anecdote, living story. I said, this is what happened, and this lady says that you Egyptians, you take these Christian women to the dance, and you take them to the cinema, but you don't tell them anything about al-Azzi. Is it true? I said, yes. Same thing can happen to you guys here in Denmark. You take the Danish girls to the cinema, you take them to the dance, but do you tell them anything about Islam? Probably not. Same type of situation. So, I hit them. Now I meet the men of the Al-Azhar. The sheikhs. Look, I'm not a learned man, wallah. I'm in a field, therefore, I know something about the work that I'm doing. Therefore, I can share. So I'm asking the sheikhs. I say, Ya Sheikh, look, you people, you read the Quran. You read the Quran. He said, yes. I said, you understand what you read? He said, of course. You know, like you Hindis, you know, you read the Quran like a parrot, you don't know what you read. I said, no, that is true. No, what is true is true. But I said, you read and you understand what you read. He said, of course. So I said, Allah is telling you. He's telling us all. But since we don't understand the message, we don't directly address to the Arab. So he's telling you. Allah says, Ya ahlal kitab, la taghlu fi dinikum. So, O people of the book, O Jews and Christians, do not go to extremes in your religion. I said, did you tell that to the Christian? He says, no. So Allah says, tells you, وَلَا تَكُولُوا ثَلَاثَا. Don't say Trinity. إِنْتَهُ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. This is perfect, it will be better for you. إِنَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. For your Allah is one Allah, it's not three in one. Did you tell them that? He says, no. But the Christian, there are 10 million Coptic Christians in Egypt, speaking your language, they look like you too. And we haven't told them, so no. So Allah says, tells you, لَتَكْتَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَالْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ. So anyone who says that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, is God, is making kufr. It's an act of blasphemy, treason against Allah. وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ. But Messiah said, Christ said, يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ لَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. So children of Israel, worship Allah, رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ, who is my Lord and your Lord. Whoever will associate anyone with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make Jannah haram for them. Heaven will be forbidden for them. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. In the fire of hell will be their dwelling place. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. And for the wrongdoers there will be no one to help. Did you tell them that? Said no. Allah is telling you, pull, tell them, Ya Ahl al-Kitab, O Jews and Christians, O people of the book, ta'alu. So you understand? Ta'alu. Says, what? Did you call them? He says, no. I don't know why. He said, you see, Mubarak is no good. And Sadat was no good. And Nasser was no good. That is sahih, you see. But I said, look, Mubarak is today. Sadat was yesterday. And Nasser was the day before yesterday. But for 1,400 years, you Egyptian Muslims are ruling Egypt. For what? 1,400 years. Except for a few years, the British, few years the French. But overall, for 1,400 years, you are ruling this country. And in 1,400 years, you couldn't make a scratch on the Christian community. I want to know why. Silence. Answer. Why? 1,400 years, you couldn't make any change. You multiplied, and they multiplied. And they are multiplying and you are multiplying. There are 10 million now, you're 40 million. And your 40 million are useless. You can't even win the Sharia because of the 10 million. They've got you under control. The way is to change them. Allah is telling you, call them, ta'al. And you're not calling them. Allah says, tell them. You won't tell them. What kind of Muslims are you? I said, look, I'll tell you why. Why you are not doing this? I'll tell you. It's very easy. I said, you see, you don't know the job, you sheikhs and imam, Allah Hazar, and you get Darul Uloom anyway. You can't do the job. Why? That is a clever behavior for the job. Astaghfirullah. No. You are not following basic instructions. That's the trouble. If you, I'm president of Pakistan, and I want my son to become a general. So I send him to the academy. And I visit the academy with my family one day to see how my son is doing. So he's doing left, right, left. I'm the president. I want my son to become a general. And this guy's saying left, right, left, eyes right, eyes left, about turn. So what the hell are you doing to my son? I want to make him a general, man. He said, look, Mr. Peter, I'm the president.
He said, you have to go through this. See, this is the start. We learn boxing. My son will become a boxing champion. He said, no, straight left, straight left, straight left. What the hell is this? I want you to teach him to knock out the football man, champion of the world. He said, no, Mr. T, Dad, there are certain elementary rules. You have to go through that step by step. Anything, any game, any art, there is a method how you proceed. Allah gives you that method in the Quran. He says, وَقَالُوا, and they say, لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا, that you Muslims will never, never enter Jannah. There is no heaven for you. There is no salvation for you unless you become a Jew or unless you become a Christian. In answer to that, Allah says, تِلْكَ أَمَانِيُهُمْ, this is the wishful thinking, vain desires, hallucination, bakwas, bakwas. They're babbling. Don't get frightened. قُلْ, tell them, هَاتُوا بُرْحَانَكُمْ, produce your proof. In kuntum sadiqeen, if you're speaking the truth, let us have a look at your certificate that entitles us to Jannah and destines us to hell. Let's have a look. Did you ask him for his certificate? Did you ask him for his burhan? He says, no. That's a problem. Unless you do that, there is no hope for you. Well, for you or for anybody. Anyway, you want to do a job of work among the Jews and the Christians? They are the best customers for us. Allah prepared them for this message. But if the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, if they hearken to this message, it will be better for them. Among them there are mu'min, good people. But the majority of them are perverted transgressors. Two types of people among the Jews and the Christians. How to approach the good guy and how to approach the devilish fellow. Allah is teaching us how to do the job. He said, as long as you don't do that, you can't proceed. Whatever he claims, here he says, can I have a look? Your Bible, yes, your Danish Bible, yes. Learn Danish. Read it. Understand what he's talking about. And wallah, whatever he's telling you is not there. Whatever he's telling you is not there. It's to the contrary. Whatever he's trying to prove, you can prove to the contrary from his book. You don't have to touch the Quran at all. Kiss it and keep it on high. Respect. Don't bring it into the battlefield. Use his book. This is his burhan. This is what he produces. When you're going to push anything down your throat, this is what he uses. Just be familiarized yourself. And to do that, you don't have to study this encyclopedia. Get these little booklets of mine. These little booklets will do the job, and there's no copyright. If you're going to put your name in publication, go ahead. If you're going to sell them, sell them. Wallah, there's no copyright and there's no royalty. Go and have access to it. Use them. And do some job for Allah and his deen, that his deen will prevail as he promises. Enough is Allah's witness that he is going to make his deen prevail with you or without you. It's only an honor and a privilege he's given us. Let's take advantage of it. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Brothers and sisters, we Muslims, we start our seminars and symposium with the recitation of the Holy Quran, and we end with the dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for my Arab brothers, I would like to ask them that the problem of the Muslim Ummah today, I would like to quote a saying of Imam Al-Ghazali without any commentary, without any explanation and translation, because you understand Arabic more than any other language. فساد الرعية بفساد الملوك وفساد الملوك بفساد العلماء السوء. If we can replace the ulama السوء with ulama al-haq, and if we can replace muluk السوء with muluk al-haq, I think the problem will certainly be changed, inshallah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم وثبتنا على صراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم انصر المجاهدين الذين يجاهدون في سبيلك. اللهم انصر المجاهدين الذين يجاهدون في سبيلك. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.
برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Thank you very much.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.